Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. Do you believe? When I ask you that, I hope you know by now, if you've been here the last 3 weeks or so, I'm asking, do you trust? Do you really trust God? Do you believe? Do you trust Him? We've been looking at traits of one who exercises biblical faith with the goal of all of us being able to evaluate our own lives and take a look at our lives to see if we truly are exercising trust in God. In our daily lives, I'm talking about. And out of those traits that we've learned so far, I think it's worthwhile to review. And those traits that we've learned so far of one who exercises biblical faith, first of all, he is not controlled by appearance or circumstances, if you will. That's not what controls him. He pleases God, and as we looked at in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He moves to action. When God speaks, He moves to action if He's exercising biblical faith. And He does that even when He does not know where He's going. We looked at that in the life of Abraham. Nor does he know how everything is going to work out. But he goes in obedient faith. He even goes when the way that he's told to go seems impossible. Whatever it is he's going to do and stepping out on faith to do, it may seem virtually impossible, and yet he goes in obedience as he is looking beyond this world. That's a part of faith. He looks beyond this world to the next. He obeys no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost, he obeys. As he yields his life, as we looked at last week, in worship of God. That's what one who exercises biblical faith does. His life is daily yielded as an act of worship to God. And as a result, he enjoys the blessings of obedient faith. Not only was Abraham enjoying the blessings, God said, through you, I will bless others. And we looked at that last week. Others sometimes are not being blessed through my life and your life because we're unwilling to trust God to do what He says do. I want to read Hebrews 11, and we'll continue in verse 23 of Hebrews 11. We took a detour last week, not a big one, but we examined closely Abraham, who did worship God, as he laid Isaac down on the altar. And we're going to pick back up in verse 23 as we continue through Hebrews 11. I'll read verses 23 through 27 and invite you to follow along as I read God's word. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. In these verses, in Hebrews 11, we will discover more traits of one who exercises biblical faith. If you haven't guessed by now, there are a lot of traits. I believe in God's word for those who exercise biblical faith. And today we'll look at verse 23, and the first is that he trusts in God's sovereign plan. He trusts in God's sovereign plan. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. They hid him for 3 months. How? By faith. It was an exercise of faith on their part, the writer of Hebrews tells us. And as God's inspired word speaks to our hearts, understand, I believe they were willing to risk. They were willing to risk. They had faith in God, and they exercised that faith by being willing to take a risk. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, my wife and I had a long discussion, or not real long, but a discussion about this. The bottom line is we don't 100% agree. Ooh. But you know, she's always right, so. No, the point is that they were willing to risk, and I believe it is somewhat of a risk because his parents took a great risk by secretly hiding their infant son for 3 months despite Pharaoh's cruel command. And what was his command? That every male Hebrew child be destroyed. Now, I don't know all of what would happen to him, but there were some serious consequences if they had been caught, by the way. That's what I mean by risk. They felt that God had called them to preserve that child's life. So therefore, they hid him from the authorities. So they were taking somewhat of a risk, I believe, by doing in obedience to God. And there are times in my life and your life that our faith and our trust may lead us to take a step that could result in some serious consequences. And I'm not saying that's something every day. What about those people who are speaking out for God in areas where they're forbidden to do so? Are they nuts? There may be a time where you and I, though we are called upon, youth group, right, to obey the governing authorities, at least I know the high schoolers were dealing with that, right? We are called upon by Scripture, through Scripture, to obey the governing authorities around us. Now, having said that, we got an example in the book of Acts when Peter and John were told to shut up and don't speak about this Christ, and they said, do what you may. We're going to speak because we can't stop speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. There may be a time that you do that. In full, obedient faith and trust in your God who has told you, don't stop speaking about me. No matter what the governing authorities say, could be against the law. There are times where we are obeying God and disobeying the authorities when the authorities contradict and go against the Word of God. So just to say this, that sometimes God calls us to something that may be risky. Now, let me give you a few examples of the great risk that we go through in our daily lives in modern day Christianity in the United States of America. I might be embarrassed once in a while. That's the great risk I'm taking for speaking up and stepping out by faith. Or I might do something that my friends may think I'm foolish. Now, we've already looked at that. In the life of Noah, we think that his counterparts thought he was nuts, probably, for good reason. But he obeyed God and stepped out by faith and trust in God. Our faith, our risk, as we step out by faith, could involve a possible economic adjustment in our lives. I know people who've done that. I know people who've downsized. I know people who've moved because they felt God was leading them to do that. And they gave up a lot to live off a little. Now, I don't see that happening all the time, but there are people who've done that in the name of Christ and because of their faith and trust in Christ. There are people who've given up good careers to say, I'm going to give that all up because God has called me to move from my job to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ full time. And I know some of those people. And you know some of those people have done it from these very walls. And they're happy as a lark because they did it. Don't have near as much money as they had. But they're a lot richer spiritually. Because they've obeyed God no matter whether it costs them something or what, no matter what the risk. Or, man, here's a big one. We take those steps of faith and we risk giving up some of the luxuries we enjoy in life. Now, I am obviously not real serious. Well, I am serious because those are the kind of risks that we daily face. Well, if I do this, ooh, it's a step of faith. I may have to give up some of the luxuries that I enjoy in life. Am I willing to do that? And there are people every day in this world saying, if I do this, I may give up my very life. I may have nothing. I may not have a life. At very best, I may be imprisoned for it and beaten. The last time I checked, it comes to mind a guy named Paul, and he did pretty well in prison because he was obedient to follow in faith and trust in his God. I might have to make career adjustments. Just a few I want to name. Whatever it might be, God calls you and me in our daily lives sometimes to step out when we say it's risky and God says, trust me. What will we do? A.B. Simpson, who you don't know, he was very involved in the early stages of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, which is a good conservative evangelical denomination. He said this, you will never learn faith in comfortable surroundings. Not only does he trust in God's plan by being willing to risk, the one who exercises biblical faith, as he trusts in God's sovereign plan, he's controlled by conviction instead of fear. We see that in verse 23. He's controlled by conviction instead of fear. Moses' parents were driven by an inner conviction that Moses had a role to play within God's purpose. You know, you read it and don't get hung up on it because they saw he was a beautiful child. Now, that doesn't say a whole lot to me. And they were not afraid, therefore, of the king's edict. It wasn't because of his looks. It was because they saw, obviously, something in him that God had in store. They saw a greater purpose for this child. Please understand, that's what led them to take the step. Because why? They were trusting in God to fulfill his sovereign plan in the life of Moses. And I might add, he did. They trusted, and God did. Therefore, they did not fear the king's edict. Instead, they responded in faith. Faith and fear don't work very well together, folks. Instead of fearing, they exercised faith. Faith in God. They were moved to further action. After the 3 months, keep in mind, they were moved to further action by placing him in a basket among the reeds by the Nile River. Now, let me say this. I didn't read the explanation, but in one of the commentaries that I rely a lot upon as I studied the book of Hebrews, referred to some who believe that was the beginning of the downfall of their faith. And I'm assuming because they didn't continue to hide him, but they put him out. I heartily disagree. It was actually a propelling of their faith, a greater faith, that they were willing, I believe, by faith and trust in God, to put him out in that basket and have his sister go along at a safe distance. In full trust, I believe, in full trust that God would fulfill his purpose or his plan in the life of Moses. Once again, God did. They trusted, and God did. They were trusting that God would preserve him for his purposes as he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. Coincidence, right? Yeah, holy coincidence. God was in control. They were trusting in God to fulfill his sovereign plan. And then what happened? His own mother was his nurse. How cool is that? Only God could do that kind of stuff. They were trusting God. They were willing to take a risk. The inner conviction of things unseen led them to take a risk as they trusted God to sovereignly fulfill his plan in the life of Moses. Last week we talked about Abraham, and I ask you, are you willing to lay your Isaac down? Whatever it might be that you need to trust God with, that you're struggling with, are you willing to lay it down? Well, I'm going to ask you that again. But I'm going to add one. Are you willing today to put your Moses in a basket in full faith and trust that God can take care of it? And I might add, a whole lot better than you can. That could be your children's lives. Now, I'll say this, knowing that most of you have perfect families and perfect children. But just in case there's one or two of you out there that have an imperfect child you're raising, then offer some words of wisdom. Surrender the control of those children to God. You said, I did when I dedicated them to God. Yes, you may have, but you took it right back. You handed them with one hand to God and you jerked them back with the other. I'm saying that because there are times in your life you're not acting as if they really are God's because you're not trusting their care to God. Because you like to be in control. Who doesn't? We love to be in control of the circumstances. We love to smother our children. We love to hover over them. And we want to be able to fly around and follow them everywhere they go, don't we? I'm seeing a lot of grins out there. This must be resonating with some of you like it does with me. I want to be there. I want to control them. Our youngest is 23 years old, folks. And we still want to control what goes on. And we remind one another once in a while. Because as most of you don't know, if you know, he still lives in a home. He's not out on his own yet, but praise God, he's making progress. But we still have difficulty sometimes laying our little Philip down in a basket. Laying him on the altar saying, he's yours, God. That's the struggle we all go through. But I'm here to tell you, it might be risky, but your sovereign God can take care of it. He's just waiting on you to lay whatever it is on the altar, place it in the basket, and keep your hands off. Not only does he trust in God's sovereign plan, but the one who exercises biblical faith holds to proper values. He holds to proper values. Look at 24, Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. He holds to proper values. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The one who holds to proper values is willing to turn away from a life of pleasure. He is one who be in his life, turning away from a life of pleasure. Verse 24, it says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That word refused means it points to a specific act of choice. And it points out the quality of his faith. By faith, he refused that. He made a conscious decision by faith and trust in God. He made a specific choice. And it was a good one. Because faith chooses wisely. And he made a wise choice to turn from his position of power, his position of privilege, and his position of prestige. He had it all. And he willingly, by faith, turned away from that. Because God had a greater purpose for him. God had a better plan. And he, I believe, also, known like his parents, was trusting in God's sovereign plan. Therefore, he stuck to proper biblical values. God wanted him to lead his people out of Egypt. Therefore, he needed to turn away from that life of pleasure. And what did he turn to? Wow, what a choice. He chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God. He chose the alternative of ill treatment with the people who were, by the way, hated and afflicted. That's what he chose. He gave up all that so he could be hated and afflicted. Is he not crazy? That's what we would say today. We seek the path of pleasure usually. At least 99.9% of Americans do. Probably most of the time. And you say, okay, well, what about Christians? Okay. Way too often, you and I seek pleasure as well. Because we want the path of least resistance. It is not very popular, by the way, to deny oneself pleasure in this pleasure-seeking society of ours. And because of the pressure around us in our society, sometimes we're unwilling to do so. It's not very popular to deny oneself this pleasure, but to follow God's plan is of greater value. And Moses knew it. He knew that it was of greater value to follow the plans of God. So therefore, he was willing to turn away from a life of pleasure, to give it all up for his sovereign Lord. By faith. It reminds me of the story I read about the mayor of a city who decided she wanted to get in touch and identify with the people in the inner city. So she moved in to the very dangerous inner city of which she was the mayor. So she could identify with the people. But she kept her fashionable apartment in the suburbs. And I share that to say this, Moses did not keep his fashionable apartment in the suburbs. He chose to leave it all behind. In faith and trust of his God. Because he was looking toward the greater treasure, verse 26 tells us. He was looking toward the greater treasure. He, Moses, considered. Once again, here we go. Considered means a decisive, carefully researched act where he recognized there were more valuable things in life than pleasure and material possessions or treasures on this earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these treasures that you want will be added. Don't seek those. Seeking God is of greater value is what he felt, what his conviction was. He chose wisely because he was looking to the reward. It was a deliberate turning from one thing to another. Deliberately turning from one thing to another. He turned away from the pleasure because he was looking toward the greater treasure. The reward. What is the reward? I think it means spiritual treasures that God had in store, as well as the deliverance of God's people. That was a treasure. He was looking toward that. That which is of greater value. A greater treasure is what he sought. And it reminds me of the hymn that says, live each day with eternity's values in view. That's what Moses did. He lived with eternity's values in view. He had a greater vision of what was to be real and lasting. Therefore, he was looking toward the greater treasure. He was willing to trust in his sovereign God. And he, Moses, was, because of his values, he could turn away from that which was temporal, of temporal value, to look toward the greater treasure. Reminds me of Romans 8:18. He considered the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory to be revealed. Where's your focus? What are you looking toward? I think if we're looking toward the greater treasure, then that's what we will value while we're going through this journey on this earth. So the one who is exercising biblical faith, trusting God's sovereign plan, he holds to proper values, but he also willingly endures trials. Wow. We could have stopped before this, right? It would have been okay up to this point. You were willing to stomach it a little bit and put up with me. But now I'm getting disgusting, right? Because I'm telling you that you and I, if we're exercising biblical faith, we are willing to go through trials. We will willingly endure trials. We just saw Moses chose the path of suffering. He chose the path of ill treatment, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He responded by faith to follow God's call to leave Egypt for Midian and 40 years of obscurity in the desert, which, by the way, could be a tad discouraging. Look at this in verse 26. He considered the abuse suffered for Christ of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And might I stop there and add this? All of the treasures of Egypt were readily available to him whenever he wanted them. If he wanted them. But that's not what he was striving for. That's not what he was seeking. That's not where his heart was. His heart was on the greater treasure. Therefore, he was willing to endure suffering. He was willing to endure trials. He considered the abuse suffered for Christ of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And he believed, I think, and understood what we have available to us in 2 Corinthians 4:17. This momentary affliction that we're going through in this world is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Wow. While we're suffering, while we're going through trials, it's only preparation for something greater. That will be far greater and far more valuable than anything that we could have now. Are you willingly enduring trials and even to the point when presented with that choice, you'll choose the path of trial and suffering? Well, you might as well, because it's going to be there anyway. Think about it. Trials are an everyday part of life. Like it or not, God has ordained that. Sam J. Irvin Jr. says this: faith is not a storm cellar to which we can flee for refuge from the storms of life. It is instead an inner force that gives us strength to face those storms and their consequences with serenity of spirit. Yes, we can peacefully live a life of serenity in the midst of the greatest storms if we're exercising faith and trust in our sovereign God. He willingly endures trials by choosing a path of suffering, but also by continuously focusing on God. Look at verse 27. By continually focusing on God. By faith, Moses left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He endured as seeing him who is unseen. Looking through the eyes of faith, as seeing him who is unseen, he was conscious of God's presence and God's promise to provide. Has God promised his presence with you? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Has God promised his provision for you? Yes, seek him first. His kingdom, his righteousness, he'll add everything you need. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Okay, he's promised to provide. He's promised his presence. The eye of faith can see what is invisible to others. Moses could see it because God was with him. Therefore, like Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us, focusing on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the completer of our faith. And it goes on to talk about the fact that he endured suffering for us. Therefore, consider Jesus who suffered for us, and therefore do not grow weary, verse 3, or lose heart while you're going through this suffering, while you're going through these trials. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Look at Jesus. Look at him now. Look at him tomorrow. And keep looking at him. That's what will get you through. The one who is exercising biblical faith keeps his heart and his mind focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the completer of his faith. By faith, we endure trials, what James 1 says. Welcome them. Consider it all joy. When, not if, but when you encounter various trials. And he goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And what will happen? That you, at the end of it, will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We endure trials today because we know that through them, God will bring us to completion and perfection. That's the process. The question is, am I a man or a woman of faith and willing to allow God to complete that process in my life, in your life? Moses paid more attention to the invisible king than he did to the king of Egypt. Having said that, obey the government. But when the government tells you to disobey your God, pay more attention to your God than you do the government. May we willingly endure whatever it is that we have to endure for God's purposes to be completed in our lives. By faith, as we focus on Him. Are you trusting Him no matter what the risk? And by the way, I think one thing my sweet wife and I concluded is, ultimately, when you're in the hands of God, there is no risk. As long as He's all-powerful, as long as He's all-knowing, and He is. Are you seeking the greater treasure? Or has this world got you in its grip? And you're so enamored by the pleasures of this world that you spend way too much of your time seeking those pleasures. Are you focusing on Him? Or are you focusing on the storms? My prayer, my desire is that you and I today, we'll sharpen our focus and readjust our focus on the eternal, the lasting, the true reward. My question for you is, what do you need to put in that basket today? And I hope you will go from here willingly choosing, as Moses did, remember, a careful, thought-out choice. And he chose wisely. And my prayer is that you will choose wisely. And before you leave where you're sitting today, jot something down that God may bring to mind that you need to place in that basket today and trust in Him as your act of worship, demonstrating your faith and trust in Him. There's a story told of the little boy who was in the ship going across the ocean, and his father happened to be the captain of the ship. As the waves tossed the ship like a cork up and down, everyone aboard was fearful, except the son, who sat still as he focused in one direction. Someone asked him, "Young lad, are you not afraid?" To which he replied, "I have my eye on that little window through which I can see my father. And he's the captain of this ship. And he's taken it through many storms." So has your father. Would you look through that window? Would you keep your eyes focused on Him and therefore be willing to praise Him by faith? Let's do so as we worship.